you're gonna look at my butthole and like, that's okay. Like, we're in this together. Cause like, it's part of it. Like, that's the fun parts of sex, is not taking yourself seriously. Like, you're gonna slip, you're gonna make weird noises, you're gonna be sweaty. Like, you gotta have fun with it, and you can't take yourself too seriously. Otherwise then, like, you take all the fun out of it.
Welcome to Honey Do Me, a podcast that goes into the bedroom and beyond, hosted by Emma Norman
and Cass Anderson.
Here at Honey Do Me, we don't have all the answers, so we chat with experts, educators, and badass changemakers to get them. We are here to remind our listeners and ourselves that what we're going through is normal, that we are worthy of love and pleasure,
and that we are all in this together. So tell us, honey, how do you do you?
Sing it again.
I love to see me from your point of view.
What's the point of view of today? We are looking at assholes, perhaps. We're both people.
Yeah.
Or three people. I don't know how you do it.
I think that's a different number. Today we're talking about 69ing.
Yeah. That's a different number. What number could you make with like 2+ people?
A zero.
Big zero. But today it's just 69ing.
Yeah.
So that's typically two people.
I think. I guess, let us know.
That's how we talked about it.
Anyways, we are talking with the lovely Carly all about 69ing. She is a pleasure educator and just a damn good time.
Yes, she is. So it was really fun to ask all of our typical questions.
Yeah, unpack this. 69ing is a lot.
It is a lot, and I've always been very intimidated of it.
So have you ever 69'd?
I've 69'd, I think, once.
And so you're a pro.
It was so my boyfriend wouldn't break up with me.
69 Hail Mary, baby.
You will. I think you should always pull that card out just once. Try it. Pull out a 69 Hail Mary, and if it doesn't work, you know.
Did it work?
No, he broke up with me.
Okay.
Pretty, this was in high school, so probably wasn't doing it right.
So one of my questions is how you get into it.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get into it?
Oh, God. From what I can recall, because in my time of desperate need, I was just like, oh, I know he wants to do this. So we were like having sex, and then I just like popped up, swung around, and then backed on up, which I feel like I've described before. Exactly. Like backing up a trailer. So, and then he was caught off guard and was like, whoa. And I was like, there's my butt and here's my cooch and let's go.
Did you go for it? Like, how long did you do it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was probably a few minutes. I didn't really know how I don't know how.
Yeah.
I didn't know how long. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. And I didn't really feel anything.
Okay. Yeah. We talk about that in the episode.
Yeah.
Like, it can be overwhelming. I wouldn't know. Because
I was gonna say, have you?
I've never done it. Honestly, just the logistics of it scare me.
Uh-huh.
First of all, getting on.
Yeah.
Because
getting on.
Or under. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Yeah, we were very concerned about what would happen if we were on bottom and someone on top was a penis owner.
Yes.
Because
choking.
Choking to death.
Yes.
Suffocation.
No breathing.
Death by shish kebab.
Shish kebab.
Sound like the Grinch. All of these things were concerns, because how do we enjoy this if we're so wrapped up in will I die?
Yeah. There is just, it's such a vulnerable position. Mm-hmm. I think for me, and I don't know if anybody can relate, but it actually took me a really long time to feel comfortable with somebody going down on me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just feels so vulnerable. And actually in middle school, I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before, but I had a health teacher that talked about how like somebody going down on you is so much more intimate than sex. And so that like
really
clicked in for
you.
Me.
Uh-huh.
And I held on to it for a really long time. And so the idea of also giving oral while receiving it seems just like,
yeah,
a lot. Like for me, it's kind of up there with mutual masturbation.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I get kind of where it could be more intimate, because when you're down and around someone's genitals with your face, mm-hmm. you are hitting like four out of the five sensories. You know, you're seeing, you're smelling, you're tasting.
You know, I had no idea where you were going with that. Oh my God.
But you know what I mean? Like,
you are.
And with sex, I can see where you could be like, it's not as intimate necessarily because you don't have to look.
That's true.
When you're in 69.
Do you have to look?
I opened my eyes.
It was really scary,
which is what traumatized me because I opened my eyes and saw what I never wanted to have to see in my whole life.
So it's like, what are they seeing?
A bat cave of a hole into the man that I was on top of. And I was like, fuck, that means that he's probably looking into my butt as well.
It's just, it feels like a lot. I don't know, because for like when you're giving a blowjob, for example, I feel like there's still like some distance between your face and the body. For some reason with 69, it feels like you're like smooshed in there.
Yeah.
And then I also think of like sweaty thighs
and like finishing. How do you finish?
Well, especially or so not. If, you know, one of us was on top and then the bottom was a penis on. Is it?
Yeah.
Just gonna spurt
is
up?
This Old Faithful? Like, am I supposed to watch out? Is it gonna
I don't know. Like,
get me in the eye? Which would hurt?
Emma would know.
I've been there. I mean, it stings. It's salty.
Stings.
It stings.
It stings.
So you have to be careful where it's spraying. So yeah, it's just scary. It's a lot. These were all really big concerns.
Yes.
For 69. And so we hope you have had just as many questions and concerns as we did, because we did not hold back on our train of thought going off with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. It gets broad.
I'll be honest, I still haven't tried it.
Yeah.
But you'll be the first to know when I do.
We will have a panic episode right after that. We just need to talk about it. And I think that'd be great.
Yes, we will.
Great content. So enjoy. Hope your answers get questioned. Hope your questions get answered.
And we'll see you on the other side.
See you on the other side. I love it. Well, I think we should just really get into 69ing because that is why we're here. So can you help us by starting out defining 69? Like, what is that position for people who might be unfamiliar?
Yeah, it's just when both partners are mouth to genitals at the same time. So that could be laying on top of the bed. That could be someone holding someone. It could be any amalgamation of those things, as long as both sets of mouths have each other's genitals in it. I always like to think of things in terms of like how everyone can participate in them. So I like to think that like everything is accessible for all bodies. So 69ing just means that your mouth has genitals and your genitals are in a mouth.
I love it. Very inclusive, very clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Is there ever like a rule of who should be on top or bottom or whatever? Like, is there a personality thing that makes someone a top and someone a bottom in 69?
No, and I don't think that like it's even that literal. So you could top if you're physically on top, or you could top if you're physically on the bottom. I think it's just a matter of finding what's the most comfortable for you. And I think that's always the interesting thing when people ask about positions, because like I can't describe that for you because there's so many different factors that could go into like how your body is going to fit with your partner's body. And like there's so many intimate details I would have to know to be able to tell people that like it's just not possible. So I always say like just try different things and find what's comfortable for you. There's no rules. The only rule is consent.
So in terms of positions, if somebody is like just starting out and is like, I have literally no idea where to start, let alone like find what I like, do you recommend like what you would normally picture, like laying on a bed, one person on their back, then the other person gets on top? Or do you recommend starting out a different way?
If folks are comfortable, I think being on your side face to face could be really, really easy, because then you don't have to worry about putting your weight on someone. It could be a little more comfortable. You have a little bit more room to adjust yourself and lean on other things. So I think that could be a comfortable way to ease into it, unless someone is looking for like the weight of someone on top of them, which could be a really hot part of 69ing for people.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's so funny because we were talking about positions for this interview and I was like, well, there's one, 69, you know, one person on top and one person on the bottom. And then Cass brought up like, well, what about this or laying down? I'm like, oh, you can do it different ways. So are there any other variations that we can, like, I know you said it depends a lot on your ability to what you can reach, but mm-hmm. anything else that pops into your head of how 69 can be configured?
I mean, you could have one partner laying flat on the bed with their head hanging off and have someone like standing on top and coming down that way. If someone is strong enough, they could pick someone else up and like flip them upside down. Like, I'm not saying that's something I do in my personal life, but I know it's a possibility for someone out there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to get into fun positions. It's just about finding different things.
I love when we learn that like something we've been picturing or something we thought we know about is so much more expansive than we ever could have imagined, because there are a lot of things like 69ing that I have been very nervous about. Like, I'm like, no way, because I'm only picturing it in one way. Yeah. And that one way feels so intimidating, like butt stuff. When we first started learning about it, I was like, it's only doggy style. Like, that's the mm-hmm. only way to do butt stuff. And I'm like, it's not for me. And it's just like, right. No, there's so many options. So very excited.
Absolutely.
I have done the like head off of the bed position, but it wasn't 69. It was just me doing other stuff. But I was like, that is so true that you can just, the person just plops on over. Yep,
exactly. Or even just reaches 69. A hand. Because like, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a mouth. It could be any sort of stimulation, really.
Mm-hmm. Like a circle of stimulation.
Exactly.
I love that. That's so cool. Standing up, I would like to see someone do that. Just for fun. I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
That information is on the internet. You can find that with a quick Google.
Just a real quick Google. I love all those positions and those recommendations, because literally hadn't thought of 50% of them.
So I kind of mentioned this before, but 69ing has seemed like a lot to focus on. It seemed really intimidating. Like, I'm supposed to be the giver and the receiver, which is not something I'm necessarily used to. So how do you recommend, like, what are your best tips for kind of getting out of your head or really just like focusing? I don't know. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of techniques that you could try. It's a little harder if you're like, you have someone's genitals in your mouth, but like if you do any sort of intentional breathing, it can really help ground you in your body and like mm-hmm. help you focus on the sensations that you're feeling. There's like anxiety techniques that I really love to apply to sex. So like, noticing something in the room. So like you could focus on a part of someone's body or like something that you're feeling or something that you're smelling, whatever it is. And like just really focusing on that can help you kind of hone in on like what's happening instead of all like the thoughts running through your head. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, just taking like normal mental health stuff and applying it to sex is just the easiest way to kind of incorporate that stuff and get, you know, your head in the game.
Right, absolutely. And so when I'm thinking about being caught up in my head, I'm also thinking about the fact that if I'm on top, my butthole is right there, you know, eye to eye with him. So how do you suggest kind of like working through that if you're nervous about your butthole being right there? And also, if you're on top leaning over, I'm pretty sure you're seeing someone else's butthole. That's a lot of things that go through my head as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intimate experience for sure.
Yes.
I think that sometimes verbalizing that to your partner and being like, hey, this is something that's running through my head, I think we should just both acknowledge it, can just be something that like puts it all out there on the table and is like, you're gonna look at my butthole and like, that's okay. Like, we're in this together. Because like, it's part of it. Like, that's the fun parts of sex, is like not taking yourself seriously. Like, you're gonna slip, you're gonna make weird noises, you're gonna be sweaty. Like, you gotta have fun with it, and you can't take yourself too seriously. Otherwise, then, like, you take all the fun out of it.
Totally. And that makes sense. And another question that came up is, how visible is it? Because I've never been on bottom of 69. And so, if you have any experience, is it really visible? Is it really right there? Or is it just kind of like, hi? Hi, or is it right there?
Well, shout out to my first COVID safe date. It is visible. But you know, like, also if somebody told me that they were like, I'm kind of insecure about you like gazing on my butthole, I would be like, that's okay, I can close my eyes. Like, you know, you gotta work with people, and like, if they don't want you staring at their butthole, even if it's super cute, like, you just gotta work with people. Like, you could feel a glance, but like, people can feel you staring into their butthole, so like, play cool.
That does feel like an energetic exchange.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And you just start, like, you want to, like, keep backing up. You're like, I just feel like you're staring at it. And I just wouldn't want that for anyone. Yes. Yeah. So would you suggest going in blind, like, keeping your eyes closed and not, like, you know?
I really like it. I like sensory deprivation because it helps me focus. It helps kind of me not see, like, oh, my hair is over here, or like that thing needs to get folded over there. Like, it just helps me focus. I know that, like, if I'm looking around, I'm distracted. So like, for me, like, blindfolds or like just closing my eyes is something that I do normally, even if I'm by myself. Right. So like, yeah, it's just something that I've always done. And, you know, if someone doesn't want me looking at them, it works.
Yeah. I love the blindfold suggestion because that makes it fun. And I think it kind of normalizes this idea that, like, you can want to do something and not be like 100% comfortable with every single aspect of it and every way that it could possibly go. So it's like, if I want a 69, but I also am not ready for you to stare at my butthole, like, that's okay. And we can find a solution.
I feel like that's, I really like that suggestion, actually, because you're like, see, I'm fun. Here's a blindfold. But actually, it's because I don't want you to stare at my butt. But I love it. It's like discreet and secretive. Do you also encourage like being like exploring a little bit more and using maybe your fingers in a butt? Or around and doing other stuff while you're 69ing? Like, is there more you could be doing?
Yeah, and I think, like, thinking outside of, like, the super obvious erogenous zones can be fun, too, because, like, our bodies are full of skin, and, like, skin craves variety. So, like, using the tips of your fingernails, like, pinching a little bit, it'll draw blood to the surface and, like, make things, like, flow more and be more, like, intense. And even having things like feathers or massage oil that you can, like, change the sensation of what's going on and, like, touch wherever, like, it would really hurt to get a tattoo would feel really nice to caress. So, like, the inner elbow, behind the knee, the back of the neck. Like, these are all places, like, depending on your body configuration, you might be able to reach. So, like, touch everything, like, massage their butt cheeks. You don't even have to penetrate somebody. It could be an option, like, always check in with someone. Not everyone wants a finger added to any hole. But, like, sometimes just rubbing the outside can be fun, too. There's lots of nerve endings. So, like, exploring more than just, like, the obvious, too.
Mm-hmm. I like the suggestion of anywhere it would hurt to get a tattoo, because those are sensitive spots, and those can, like, really feel all the touching and the playing and the caressing.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause the nerves are really close to the surface. So like your armpit is like something super sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's fun. Lots you can do.
And so it helps get you back in the moment too. Like if you're a little distracted, I think that's one of those like sensory techniques that you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
Yeah.
One of my concerns is getting into the position. Like how, what's a good way to get into the position that still feels like sexy in any capacity? Yes. Is there a way?
I was describing this to Cass and it felt like I was backing up a trailer. Like that's how it feels where you're trying to find it.
I will say that there's really like not truly, like I'm bigger. I'm not super like light on my feet. So like I don't think anything I do when I, especially when I'm changing positions on my really soft bed, is like super graceful, but like you just kind of gotta throw your body over and do it. Like it's just one of those things. If you've ever noticed in porn, most of the time they're not switching positions. That stuff is edited out. You don't ever see it because it's awkward for everybody. It's not usually a smooth transition. You'll see that's where they edit the actual video transitions usually. You don't ever see them like physically moving positions. That's it's awkward. So there's no way to comfortably do it. So like just go for it and like try not to kick someone in the head. Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, because when I picture swinging around, I do picture legs. Trying not to like
just be
someone.
Mindful of when you're throwing limbs over.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Oh, that's so funny. That's good to point out too, because I think a lot of the times we have these conversations, we bring up how it's portrayed in porn and how in our head that's the only way we're representing it. And so to bring up the points where it's like maybe misrepresented or edit it out throughout porn, it's good because then it kind of debunks whatever you're thinking mm-hmm. in your head. And that's really helpful. So I'm glad that that Absolutely. Keeps coming up in these conversations.
Yeah. So it's yeah. not like, what's wrong with me?
Speaking
yeah.
to that with porn, if it looks good on camera, it likely doesn't feel very good because you have to keep yourself open to camera. So like if you're giving oral sex like you'd see in porn, you're not being enthusiastic enough. Like, get in there, because like when you're really going down on someone in any capacity, like you got to get in there, like you got to move skin around, you got to do that. And like porn won't really show that because it can't, because it's not as visually appealing to watch someone's face like buried.
That's so true, because I always am curious about, like, if you're on top and you have a vulva, so you're not as, you know, you're not protruding anywhere, mm-hmm. how far down you should be going. And like, am I supposed to be like fully opening up my knees? Like, how far onto their face am I supposed
flush
to
flush with the bed?
Flush with the bed. Am I like froggy leg in this? Like, I'm confused as to how far down. So that's like another question with positioning too. It's like, is it just, I mean, I'm sure the answer is just whatever you feel comfortable with then, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it depends on like the size of your partner. If my partner's smaller, I'm going to be able to get my body closer to the bed. If they're bigger, I'm going to have to, you know, account for that.
Right. Yeah, but you do never see in porn like devouring. And mm-hmm. that's what
Yeah.
Sorry.
I love it.
That's where you can get uncomfortable. At least I can feel that way in this position where it's like I feel like I'm suffocating their face.
Yes.
Because it's like, shouldn't I not be this close to them? This like squishy.
No, I mean, listen, like vulvas have a lot of like flesh, like you gotta get in there. So unless you're comfortable like holding things back and moving them apart, then like, and not everyone's comfortable with that, so like either way you gotta get in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes so much sense. I've never thought about that, but we did an episode about going down on someone with a vulva with Luna Matata's, and she was mentioning how like you should make out with somebody's pussy, like that mm-hmm. should be what it's like, and that just clicked for me. Like, I've never seen that in mm-hmm. porn.
Totally.
And so it's like, no shit, people are gonna like do it the wrong way.
Why?
Because right. that's how they're learning.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
With getting all in there, that brought up another thing for me is finishing and like all of like the juices and stuff. So is that a conversation you should be having with your partner like beforehand? Like, if this gets a little too overwhelming, should we pause? Or like, should you be worried at all if you're like all over their face or they're like all over you? Like, yeah.
I mean, I feel like that 69ing is not something that you typically do on like a first date. So like, I feel like someone is going to know like what they're getting into when they're going down there. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like they would know and that they would be okay with it. And like, you could always ask like, hey, give me a tap if you need me to move or you need a second or something. Mm-hmm.
So you should have a signal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be as serious as like a safe word, but like if you feel me tapping on your hip, like maybe like sit up for a second.
Okay.
Need air.
For yeah. the sitting up part, I'm just wondering like physically, I love to get into like the super specifics because this is where I get caught up. Would you like, let's say you are on top of somebody and they tap your side. You get up, but would you like slide forward so that they could get up, or would you sit on their face and then get off?
I usually swing a leg over so that they can like chill out for a second.
Okay. Thank you. I love the specifics are so important to me.
What if you backed all the way up past their head
and then give them a kiss,
and now you're behind them so that they could sit up?
You're I like their that chair. Too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Options are important.
That's so funny. So for me, I would assume, and I think I would prefer being on top if I was doing 69. And so as a top person, or even maybe a bottom person, do you have any like kind of rhythm suggestions or anything that we could be doing more with our body instead of just like either being on top or like laying straight down? Is there like more rhythm we could add to this?
I mean, it's always a path to success for orgasm when you're tensing and like flexing your pelvis. So like any sort of like humping or like just like flexing in that sense is going to help folks reach orgasm. So that's always what I recommend. And I always like to like have a sexy playlist ready. The sweet spot for music is 120 beats per minute. So if you Google like pop songs, 120 beats per minute, R&B songs, 120 beats per minute, like people have done the work. You don't have to like find the songs and like put a metronome, but then you can like go through and like pick songs that are all the same tempo and like have this really like curated sexy list and like get into it like that. And then like you're doing kind of this mental foreplay because you're like, oh yeah, this is like my sex playlist.
I love that tip.
I've seen the beats per minute for running playlists on Spotify.
That's not what they
and
were
this
for.
Is a different type of running.
Yeah,
this is a better type.
This is a better type of cardio, I think. That's so smart because, yeah, if you, I'm someone that likes to musically get into it. And so you want it to be like the same flow the whole time.
Yeah. Or you want something that's going to get like faster.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Oh, that makes so much
build
sense.
Build some intensity.
Yeah, that is such a good tip. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask a question. So if you have a partner that has a penis or if you have a penis, can you be on top? Like, I guess my partner has a penis and I worry about if
choking.
He was on top. Choking.
Yes.
Yes.
Dying. Yeah. Suffocation. Dying. All of those.
Shish kebab through the throat.
So yeah, and that's another thing where like, those physical cues are going to be helpful because you're not going to be able to say something. So like tapping on them, but like they might have to be a little bit more mindful about like letting their weight on you, because if it goes too far and you can't breathe and there's really nowhere for you to move back to like pull out. So like they have to be a little more mindful, but it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah. That's another thing. So if they're on top with a penis, how do you move your mouth necessarily when it feels like there's only really,
or are they moving in and out of your mouth?
Yeah. It's more about them moving at that point. It depends on like where your head is. If your head is hanging off the bed, you'll have like more space. So that would be a better position to have someone with a penis on top.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I worry like they got too into it and then they were just like going with the thrusting and like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But also, like, that position is the easiest way to deep throat in. Like, whenever I teach the BJ classes, that's the tip. Like, if you were going to sword swallow, you wouldn't do it like this. You'd stab yourself in the head. You would have to, like, line everything up. So when your head is strained out like that, everything is more lined up. So it's a lot easier to do it.
Sword swallow. That was what I took away from what you just said. And I love that. Wow.
That's how I like can sort of get away with it on TikTok. I talk about sword swallowing.
Oh, that's so smart. We need code words.
We need so many more code words
for TikTok.
Yeah.
Do you ever use 69 as, is it foreplay? Is it in between sex? Is it after sex? Like where
is
would
it
you
the full shebang?
Is it the full shebang? Where would the best like placement for 69ing be?
I think that that's so subjective because like, what is sex, right? Like, what is foreplay? It's like philosophical, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So like, it all depends. Like what is sex for one person might not be sex for another person. So I think to define it like that can be limiting. So I think like, just do it when you want to do it.
Yeah. No, that seems fair. When you feel like you want a lot of stimulation, just go for it.
Well, exactly.
You had a question that I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I've done it like maybe twice, but I feel like, and we've touched on it about being in our heads, but I also feel like it was more than that. It's like I just felt like I wasn't feeling it. Like I wasn't feeling it, I said, in my heart or in my pussy. And I don't know kind of what that was or how to make it more fun. Because then it just felt like I was doing it to say I was doing 69. I wasn't like feeling it for them. I wasn't feeling it for me. And I was just like numb, kind of. Not in a bad way, but in like a
too much. Yeah, I mean, not everything is for everyone. You know, I would just say like, if you tried it once or twice and it's just not something that does it for you, you don't have to do it again. Like some people just don't like having to give and receive at the same time. Yeah. It throws their whole focus off. Like there are definitely times where I'm like, that's not going to be the thing that like gets me off. Like if you want to like touch me while I'm touching you, sure. But like, that's not going to be the thing that like is going to rock my world. So like we could do this for a little while for you, but then I'd like to move on to something else.
Right. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I feel like I tried it a long time ago. It was one of the very first. I just really went for it with when I was young. I thought I would just full send on a 69. So maybe I should give it like one more try and see if it's something I would be interested in. Because it does.
Yeah, and you can always try different positions.
Exactly.
And that might, yeah.
It was honestly probably the position that was throwing me off too, because it was like what you typically think of, like I was on top and he was on bottom, and that was being young. I was just scared of my butt, of what I was doing, if I was doing it wrong. And now that I'm a little bit more experienced as a woman, maybe I could try and it could be a little bit more fun. You never know. Ooh, are there any ways to bring toys into 69?
Yeah, of course. I mean, anything that you want to incorporate. Like, I always love to think, like, what area of the body do you want to stimulate besides what you're already doing? Okay. So, like, you could get, like, dildos for G-spot stimulation. You could get nipple clamps for nipple stimulation. You could add a stroker to your hand job. There's just, like, the possibilities are endless.
I did have a question, and I realize it's not specific to 69ing, but if you're, you know, thinking out of the box, maybe trying to do different things, could we talk about teabagging for a second? Like, does that feel okay?
Yeah.
I don't know why that just popped into my head.
Okay, you just caught me off
guard. I feel like it's in the same vein.
Yeah, like it's just you're down there. Things are hanging into you, maybe.
Okay, I guess. Okay, define teabagging. Is that just getting hit in the face with balls?
No. Then what is?
No, it's like you're dipping them in your mouth. Like you dip a teabag in the cup.
I could have swore it was just getting hit in the forehead with some balls.
That still feels relevant, but whatever.
Okay, so more of an act, less of an accident. I like it. Continue.
I mean, what's the question, though?
I guess, like, where do you start with it? So teabagging, we got the definition. Like, do you just, like, put them in? I don't know. I really don't even know where to start.
Yeah, so there's a couple things you can do with balls. Like, balls are cool because, like, when someone with a penis is getting close to orgasm, their balls get sucked really close to their body. So if you kind of just, like, hold the skin, and not the testicles themselves, you're just pulling the skin away from the body, you make, like, an at-home ball stretcher. And it sounds a lot more intense than it actually is, but basically, by preventing the balls from getting sucked real close, you make it harder for them to orgasm and more intense when they finally do, because you're elongating the path from balls to ejaculation. So you can do that. And then when they're, like, a little more taut, you can, like, tease them with your tongue, and, like, there's lots of different things you could do with your tongue. You could do, like, pointy tongue and do little, like, kitty licks, or you could do, like, wide flat ice cream tongue and do, like, long licks. You could do some sucking, you know, just changing up the feel of your mouth and lips can change all of that, and then you're holding everything, like, more tight, so it'll be easier to, you know, manage because they're, you know, floppy. Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Create a whole experience. Yeah.
So should you just focus on, like, one at a time? Should you put both in at the same time
if you can?
Depends on the size of the person.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the mouth. And I'm like, oh, you could only tiny do one.
Well, also that too. Yeah. I mean, listen, some folks have big balls and some folks don't.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel like you could also approach the balls in 69ing as well. Like, if they're on top.
Why I brought it up.
I know, that's a really good you're totally right, because, well, I think it's due to the fact that I did not know what teabagging was. It's never come up in my head. And the fact that I always thought it was just an accident. Because kids in middle school used to be like, oh, teabag, and then they would, like, jump over someone that was sitting and, like, hit them in the face.
Oh.
Their crotch. So
there you go. Anyways, continue with your question.
I mean, they've like developed it into something else at that point.
So funny. Question. I don't know if I had one besides this just statement that you could approach the balls through 69 if they were on top, and even maybe if they were standing. I feel like right, they would just kind of have to walk closer to you unless you're like looping them in.
Yeah, or even you can just use your hands.
Yeah, because you could potentially. I'm not super well versed. No, I'm not good at doing a lot of things at once.
Oh.
So, but if you were, you could put them in your mouth and then also do like a hand job at the same time. That sounds very stimulating.
That sounds like a lot going on. I love it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so many options with 69ing that I really didn't
I wasn't aware of before, mm-hmm. which is really fun. Are there any like big mistakes that come to your mind when you think about 69ing for like beginners? Anything that they do that, you know, you should avoid?
I think the not asking first is like a big thing. Like there's hot ways to ask for consent. Be like, is it okay if I do this? Would this be all right? Is this going to rock your world right now? Like asking will save you like making those mistakes, I think, most of them. And then just being mindful of teeth, I think, is always just the way of the world with oral of any kind.
Totally.
Absolutely.
We have talked about bringing up like conversation and consent and asking in sexy ways like a lot throughout our podcast. And I think that's just so good to highlight over and over again of like you should constantly be talking to the person that you're with.
Because yeah.
That's
even
hot.
Even if you're like super used to like having sex with this person, like people's moods change from day to day. Like I might be in the mood for you to put a finger up my butt on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I want you to leave it alone. Like, so you got to ask. You just never know.
Yes. 100%.
I would love to know if we've talked about oral a few times on the podcast before, but I would love to know like your favorite oral tips, regardless of like the genitals, if you have any like general ones or specific ones for specific genitals. I would just love to know your tips.
My number one tip that people are always like, really? Is use lube. Use it freely and use it liberally and often. Lube makes everything better. Lube is like the difference of like licking your lips and using chapstick. Your mouth will make things wet, but lube will keep things wet. And that will cut down on friction and help things last longer and just make it feel better. And that's on all genitals. It feels good in hands, for the mouth, for the butt, for nipples. Like, put lube everywhere. Use lube.
Oh, see, I would never think of lube for oral and for doing that. But I know that they make edible lube. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Do you have a suggestion for a type of lube that tastes the best? That is best
if
to use?
If you want a lube that tastes like absolutely nothing, which is always what I'm looking for, Intimo is this Canadian brand that makes this all-natural lube that, like, I love now. It's my absolute favorite. It has zero taste, which is amazing. So you can go from, like, oral to penetration back to oral, and you're not, like, tasting a lube.
Right.
Another really good neutral one is Sliquid. I'm sure that like lots of folks have heard of Sliquid. I also really like oil-based lubes because then I feel like everything gets really moisturized. Southern Butter is my favorite for that, and it has calendula in it, which is my absolute favorite ingredient because it's also like really healing for the skin.
I guess that would make sense. It's like I don't want to taste peppermint. And then, and then, you know, later I taste it in a different way. And it's just kind of awkward
exactly.
In a tainted way. In a tainted way. So that makes sense. Ugh. Yeah. No, that's a great point.
And like the first thing I do with any lube that people send me is I taste it. If it tastes terrible, I'm not going to sell it because like you're going to get lube in your mouth. You should be getting lube in your mouth when you're having sex with someone. You should get a little bit of lube in your mouth at some point.
That's a good
if
tip.
Nothing else.
That's a good tip.
Good goal.
Yeah.
That's a goal-oriented sex act I can get behind.
Yeah.
And we've talked about lube a little bit more too lately, and it's like you can use it with everything. I just wasn't aware of how much you can and should be using it with. And first of all, because I feel like it's a little bit shamed when you need lube, or it can be. And then I've just never heard it used with oral, so I love that that's like a topic, and that can make it so much more fun if everything feels like slippery and accessible. I don't know.
Exactly.
Do you have any like, do you ever get tired doing 69? And, like, is there, like, a time limit that you usually keep in and around? Because that's another thing that I feel like we think about. It's, like, how long should I actually be doing this for? And, like, you know?
I am famously a pillow princess, so I don't do 69 too often. And if I do, I'm usually on the bottom because I'm gonna be like, I'm done now pretty quickly. So, you know, it's a special treat for my partner and like they need to treat it as such.
Totally.
But yeah, like there's no timeline. If you do it for a little bit and you're like, all right, my knees hurt now, then all right, your knees hurt now.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. I think that's in a lot of people's heads. It's like, oh, I need to do this until you finish, or I need to do this until I finish. And it's like, that shouldn't ever be the goal. I feel like just pleasure is the goal. And that's what we should all be striving for. So if you're not having fun anymore, just stop. or exactly. just move on.
Exactly. And like, that's the thing is like, a lot of times people are like, oh, you have to keep hooking up until we both come. And sometimes it's okay to not. If you had a good time and you're ready to stop, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. What if you have like a really big height difference from your partner? Is it still possible to 69, or is that maybe just like not for you?
I think it depends on the height difference, because I think a lot of the time if it's like torsos, then that might affect it more than like if it's just like legs.
Right.
So I think it depends on like how you're matching up with your partner. But like, I could definitely see situations where it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah. Maybe the laying down. Maybe if somebody is super tall and really flexible, they could make it.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like, exactly, like a noodle. You're just a big old C at the top.
Yeah.
But that could work. I think that was the only position I was picturing in my head when I'm assuming tall versus short. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like 69ing is a lot of like sexy problem solving.
Yeah.
That maybe isn't always sexy.
Yeah. But that's another good thing that I like that we talk through, because problem solving is a part of all things sexual, because you have different preferences with different partners and different days. And it's like problem solving is constant in sex. And that's totally fine, which I think is what's great to highlight.
Yeah.
Every single time. Do you have any like last big like things that we should be talking about with 69, or do you feel like we covered everything? Like, what else would you suggest to our listeners as a last note?
Definitely explore toys more. I have whole blog posts about it. I have a class coming up in June about like how to incorporate toys into blowjobs specifically. But like, look into toys. Toys are really fun. I think sometimes people are like, oh, toys are for this one very specific thing, but I think they can be for everything.
Can you give us a teaser of how to incorporate toys with blowjobs?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a sleeve that's about this big that's open-ended on both sides. So it's perfect to use like on the shaft of a penis while you're licking the head. So then it feels like you're deep-throating when you're not.
Aww. That sounds like a dream.
I love that. For a pillow princess myself, you know, with most things, I love that. That is less work overall.
My whole ethos is work smarter and not harder.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, I love that. And I feel like toys could just, because you could also, if you were interested in butt play during 69, using a toy for that instead of your fingers, because sometimes you don't want to stick a finger up there, but you could use like a little small plug or an anal bead or something.
Or a big plug.
But if you're on the top and you have anal beads coming out, you're probably hitting them in the face. Depending on how many beads are in your butt. That's something.
You gotta get the glass one so they stay like straight.
That would be, it's like an icicle coming out of your butt. Yeah.
That's so funny because that's the name of the brand of the glass toys.
Oh my gosh, wait, that's
that makes sense. They named those well.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
We would love for you to let our listeners know where they can continue connecting with you after the episode.
Sure. My blog is dildoordildon't.com, and all of my social media is Makeup and Sin. So that's TikTok, until they delete me again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pokemon Go. So like, find me, I'm around.
Ba-dum-ba-cha, 69. 30 for 35.
You do know the song, you fucking dirty liar.
That's all I know because that's the title of the song, 3435.
I asked Emma to sing that at the intro and she wouldn't, so I sang I couldn't a song remember that wasn't
the
even
melody.
Related.
It was still Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
So that's where you got it right. You know what else we got right? Bringing Carly on to talk about 69.
Yes, we did.
So thank you so much to Carly for being on the episode today, and thank you to our listeners for sticking around.
And if you have a minute. Head on over to Apple Podcasts.
This is, you need like slow jams in the background when you start talking.
Go ahead. Do a beatbox it.
I cannot. Thank you though for asking. All right.
Head on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. It means the world to us and it helps us get out to more listeners just like yourselves who are having trouble with a sexy time.
With a sexy time. What emoji should we use?
The Pisces.
The Pisces.
Sign.
If this is what got you to listen.
That's the one that looks like a sideways 69.
Yeah. Which is one of the
pretty
positions.
Pretty far over in the app or in the emojis. So yeah. Keep scrolling.
And we'll know you worked hard for it.
Yeah.
And for us.
And for us.
Thank you.
Because we're working hard for you, honey. Yeah, all day,
every day, trying out all these moves.
But no.
Not really. Anyway, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.